So the reading is from Deuteronomy, to start with. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, and then moving on to chapter 6, verses 20 to 25. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And over the page to verse 20 to 25. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness.
And the New Testament reading.
The New Testament reading is on the insert. It's from Ephesians chapter 6. You can look at it in your Bibles, but I'm going to read a slightly different translation. If you're looking at it in the Bibles, it's page 1177. Page 1177. We're going to come back to the Deuteronomy reading in a little while. But I'm going to read it from the insert here, the front page of the handout, from the ESV, the English Standard Version. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Authoritarianism is making a comeback. That was the headline of an online article that I read recently. It was commenting on the authoritarian regimes of Iran and Russia, strong leaders imposing their will on the people by force and by fear. Quite a contrast to our context in England, where we often hear that we live in an anti-authoritarian age, where authority is not respected or obeyed. We see that in our schools. If you speak to any teacher, they'd say that authority in the classroom is a major issue they have to deal with, that the children do not respect or obey their authority. We see it in public life, we see it in our work life, and we see it in family life. We are a child-centric culture. They are the ones, it seems often, who have authority over the parents. This role is reversed. I saw a spoof video clip, and maybe it's a bit closer to the truth than actually being a spoof. A child was asked by his father, "Where do you want us to go on holiday this summer? Would you like to go to Malaga or Mauritius?" The child was in charge. They were the ones to be obeyed. Well, into our context, we hear today these words from the Bible, "Children, obey your parents." And then we read that fathers are to discipline their children. And it sounds very countercultural, as it did last week when we heard that wives are to submit to their husbands. But we have to think who is being addressed and why this is what is being said, if we're to understand correctly and not just dismiss this teaching out of hand. So do look with me at these verses in Ephesians. A first century church that the Apostle Paul is writing to them. As Andy was reminding us last week, reminding them what Jesus has done in chapter 2, how God in his mercy, his great love for us, has saved us. We were dead in our sins. We were cut off from life with God. We were deserving his wrath and under his judgment. But by grace, his undeserved favor towards us in Jesus, we've been made alive, we've been adopted into his family, and we're at peace with God. And this grace, which we know through faith in Jesus, leads us into a new way of living with him at the center, a life worthy of him, as chapter 5, verse 1 puts it, following God's example, which we're enabled to do by his Spirit dwelling within us. Christians are Spirit-filled people, as chapter 5, verse 18 says. And a characteristic of Spirit-filled lives will be submission. Submission to Jesus and his word. And then, as verse 21 says, submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. And he goes on to unpack what that submission will look like in a number of relationships within the family of Christ. So these words are addressed to Christians, those in the Lord. If we're not yet trusting Jesus, these words may grate, because they do say something very different to what our culture says. And let's not pretend they don't challenge Christians, because they do. It's a distinctive and different life we're called to live in Christ. Well, the relationship we're looking at today is that of children and parents. And that can be something of a minefield. There's so many views represented here amongst us about how we raise children. So many books written. And yet it's an area that we often steer clear of talking about with one another because of such deeply held convictions, for example, on discipline. In our hearts as parents, we can be very judgmental of other parents. Or we can feel proud that we're doing a good job. Or we can feel failures, that we're rubbish and really no good as parents. And we all know that if we can think back to when we were young children, that rebellious spirit that rises up within us, not wanting to obey our parents, and how often, as adults, we don't honour or respect our parents. All of us come to these verses then with a lifetime of experience as children, some of us as parents. But if we can park that experience for a moment and hear God on his terms, expect it to challenge us and rebuke us, and I hope encourage us and help us. Two things from these verses, they're very simple, they're obviously there. To the Christian child, obey your parents. Obey your parents is a very clear command. It was normal in the ancient world, it's common in most civilizations, that obedience of children to their parents is demanded and expected. But why? Why is obedience commanded? For what reason? Well, two motives are given here. Firstly, it is right. It is right because it's indispensable to a stable society. It's right because it leads to a good ordering of life. You don't have to be a Christian to recognize this. But it is right too for those in the Lord. Part of our Christian discipleship is that we are those under authority. We're not free agents to do whatever we like. We are under the authority of Jesus. We're to submit to him. And for children, this submission is lived out as submitting to those in authority over us, our parents. They have a divinely delegated authority over us. So obeying them is part of our obedience to our Lord and Saviour Jesus. It is right. But second motive he gives here is it's God's instruction in the Ten Commandments. Verse 2 says this, honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. The commandments are instructive for God's people in the way that our relationship with God works as people who have received his grace. And it's instructive too about our relationship with others. This fifth commandment that he quotes here is the first about our relationship with others. Primarily, he's been speaking about our relationship with God. Now he speaks about our relationship with others. And it's noticeable that this first one that he comes to is that of parents. It's of foremost significance. And it's an interesting verse because it says it's the first with a promise. Now, if you know the Ten Commandments, you'll know that no others have a promise attached to them. So what's this about? Well, I'm persuaded by those who think that it's got in mind not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole of the Torah, the law that you find in the first five books of the Bible, where there are the promises of blessing attached to the many commandments, the word of promises that are attached to many commandments that flow out of these Ten Commandments. Now, a couple of issues might be cropping up in our minds as we read these verses. Firstly, what about when a child reaches adulthood? Does this instruction to obey parents still apply? Well, not in the same way as it did when we were living at home under 18. The language, you notice, changes from obey to honour. We're to honour our parents, both as children and as adults. And how we do that is for each of us to work out. It can become a big issue as our parents get elderly and sick, and we can find that parent-child roles are reversed, and instead of us depending on them, they become dependent on us. How will we honour them in love and respect as we care for them? But a second issue might be, what if as a child our parents aren't Christians? Are we still to obey them? Well, yes, God has given us our parents. And as part of our submission to Jesus, we should submit to them. Unless, of course, it cuts across our loyalty to Jesus. For example, if your parents forbid you to follow Jesus, or to renounce your faith, or to live lives that are deliberately counter to how Jesus has called us to live, then with grace and gentleness, we must explain why we cannot obey them in this matter and not expect them necessarily to understand why that is. So the command is, children, obey your parents. Now, I guess in many ways we should be having the children in here because they need to be hearing that. It's interesting, isn't it? This is addressed to the whole people of God. There's good arguments that children should be here present with us. As parents, you can tell them that they're to obey you. But I hear, I wish my children would obey me. They're so often disobedient. Well, the Apostle Paul has something to say to that. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So secondly, to the Christian father, educate, don't exasperate. As parents, we can hinder or help a child in their obedience. We can hinder that by being too harsh at one extreme or too lax at the other. Much of how we deal with our children will depend on our own upbringing. The pattern we have lived under makes such a deep impression upon us and informs our own parenting, either negatively or positively. Perhaps we have grown up in a very authoritarian home and we react against that and say that if I'm going to be a parent, I'm not going to parent like my parents did. Or maybe we've grown up without a father, or one who was largely absent or abdicated any responsibility. And then to throw into the mix, we have the different views of fathers and mothers. So you have to work out together how you're going to raise the children. Because we all know how children love to play off one parent against the other. They soon find out who the soft touch is. You can tell some of this is autobiographical. Paul begins with a negative action to avoid and then follows it with a positive action to develop. He addresses the responsibility of fathers in particular, though this does not diminish the contribution of mothers. You only have to go and look at something like Proverbs 31. Children are to obey, he says in the first instance, their parents. But fathers are addressed here. Specifically, is that because we are so often lacking in spiritual and practical responsibility for our children? And because fathers, we so easily provoke our children to anger. As a father, I am ashamed to say I have done this. I feel this is a word very much to me, first and foremost. I suspect it may be to many fathers, because we are prone to provoke our children to anger. The ESV translation, which I've used here, along with most other translations, is very clear on this. More so, I think, than the NIV, which you'll see says exasperate. Of course, if we provoke our children to anger, we are exasperating them. So it's got the same sort of meaning. But let's think of some concrete ways fathers, and mothers can listen as well, because this may be helpful, we can avoid this happening, provoking them to anger. There's many ways we can do this. Here's just four. Firstly, don't get angry, be self-controlled. Don't get angry, be self-controlled. If we try disciplining our children when we are wound up, it'll often do more harm than good. They'll respond in kind. Self-control of our tongues is vital for true discipline. And such self-control is a mark of those filled with the Spirit of God. We need his help. Paul has already spoken in chapter 4 how we're to get rid of all rage and anger. And it's key for fathers to exercise self-control, not to get angry with our child. Secondly, don't be inconsistent. Be consistent. Don't be inconsistent. Be consistent. It's impossible for a child if one day the father is kind and the next difficult, one day hard and the next soft. If we've punished punishment and if they disobey, then apply the punishment consistently. So often in our context, we hear threats of punishment and no follow through by the father, and mothers aren't exempt. Or then we suddenly do punish. And that's exasperating for a child because it's inconsistent. Be consistent. And then thirdly, don't tear down, but do build up. Don't tear down, but do build up. You might cast your eye over to chapter 4, verse 29, where Paul is not addressing fathers or parents specifically, but to all of us, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We can use our words so unkindly, can't we? We can end up crushing our child, but we should never humiliate them or make fun of them in front of others or make them feel small. But in our words as fathers, help build them up. The child's good is our controlling motive, which leads to the fourth and maybe the last little illustration here, concrete illustration. Don't be selfish, but be loving. Don't be selfish, but be loving, which is a way, in a sense, a summary of all the others, as a way of not provoking them to anger, not exasperating them. Our children are a gift from God. As we think of them, think of our Heavenly Father and how in his infinite love and kindness and patience, he has treated us. It's something I need to do to constantly remind myself of, to preach and apply the gospel to myself of grace and forgiveness before I seek to be a father to my children. They are watching our lives. Do they see the gospel at work in us? See us submitting to Jesus? See how we love Jesus? will I give myself to the children as he has given himself to me in sacrificial service. Selfishly, I sometimes see the children as a nuisance, not serving my ends when I just want to switch off. Don't be selfish, but loving. So here are some negative actions to avoid. They're challenging, aren't they? And what follows is a positive action to develop. And I think this is even more confronting and challenging to us as fathers. He says this, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In short, Christian fathers are to nurture their children to know and to love and to obey Jesus. Now, maybe if we feel guilty how we've exasperated our children, then the area of teaching and training our children to be disciples of Jesus is most likely even more guilt-inducing. I was inadequate in doing this. I don't feel standing up here I'm a good example of speaking about this. And in hindsight, I'd take this instruction much more seriously if I was starting again. That is to obey, to do it, not to avoid or abdicate responsibility. So how will we do this as fathers? Well, look briefly with me at Deuteronomy chapter 6. You might like to turn to that, the reading that Alison brought us, page 185. We're going to look at this in more depth in growth groups this week, but let me read verses 5 and 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. They're to be upon your hearts. Sorry, just lost my place there as I've cast my eye over to my Bible. It starts, doesn't it, with us as parents. These are to be on our hearts. It's important that our children submit to the authority of both parents. We have a duty to train them, but especially, as Ephesians has said, to teach them as fathers, not leave it to our spouses. But it starts with our hearts. Are we loving the Lord our God wholeheartedly? And then, as Jesus says, if we love him, will obey his commands. So this is to ourselves first, before our children. And then look with me at the words of instruction that he goes on to use in verses 7 to 9. The doing words, impress them on your children, talk about them, tie them, write them. It will mean opening the Bible. When small, reading the Bible with them. There's so much age-appropriate material available today. If you're stuck, come and have a word with me or Andy. Have a look on 10 of those or the Good Book Company. And it's not just reading mechanically, it's talking about the God who we've read about, talking about him at every opportunity, as it says. When you talk about them, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road. Every father will have to work this out in his own situation. But, for example, if we're doing a school run or taking them to a party or watching TV, how does what we've been reading in the Bible make us think about what happened at school today or what pop song they're listening to or the TV soap relationships or when they're struggling with some particular relationship? Mothers will have more opportunities, more time with them. And maybe work precludes you as a father from seeing them when they're very young. Or take time at the weekend, on the way home today. What have they been hearing in their group this morning? Teach them God's word. Teach them about Jesus. And then teach them to pray. You'll model that to start with, to bring everything and anything to our Heavenly Father. And not just our needs, quick to give him thanks, whether daily food or answered prayers, or just to give him thanks for his daily care and love and rescuing us in Jesus. We can use a framework like stop, sorry, thank you, others, please. Teach them God's word, teach them to pray, and then live it out in our lives. You and I as parents are the models to them of what a living faith in Jesus is. Do they see us following his example, putting into practice what we're instructing them? Do they see us reading our Bibles and praying and living as followers of Jesus. Now, at this point, we may be feeling overwhelmed, feeling we haven't even begun, feeling something of a failure. Well, God's word is here to bring us up short, to confront and to challenge us and to convict us and to instruct us in the ways we should change. And that'll mean a change of heart, which is what repentance is. And to start afresh, wonderfully in Christ, we have that opportunity day by day to start afresh with him, to take these words to heart and be committed to submit ourselves to them with God's help. He never asks us to do what he doesn't equip us to do. He promises to give us all the grace we need. He's placed us in a community of believers committed to one another, that together we might grow with our children to maturity in Christ. I'm very conscious that there's a lot of material there that we've had this morning to think about. And maybe it'd be good just to pause and be quiet for a moment to think, is there one takeaway here for me as a parent, as a child, as a father particularly, that we might then ask the Lord to help us? So let's just be quiet for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Lord, we pray that your living word might take root in our lives, that we would be obedient to you out of love for you, that we'd submit ourselves to you. And that whether we're children or adults, whether we have living parents or not, whether we're fathers on our own or mothers on our own, please help us as those who follow Jesus to not only to submit to you, but to help children to honor our parents as you've instructed us here. And we pray that for the blessing and good of us and for the communities in which you've put us and for the honouring of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Amen.